I love this book. I think it's an interesting, intriguing book. I've never preached out of it, so if I fail you greatly, well, that's my flesh. We pray that God is honored. But anyways, it has a very interesting account, that's for sure. And I think it can relate to a lot of human beings if we're honest with ourselves, how oftentimes we think God should operate. But anyways, Jonah chapter 3, we're going to read the first 10 verses, which is the whole chapter, and we're going to read this in Jesus' name. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, In 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest, even the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and of his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they were turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We thank you and praise you for the gift of this word. But Father, we know that this word is so inclusive, that it begins in the very beginning all the way through the last page. It proclaims to us the gift of life found through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would allow us to be sanctified in the truth, for your word is this truth. We ask it all in his name. Amen. We remember the account of Jonah, even going through Sunday school and different things like this. We may go to Bible camp and they might have acted this out for us. They may have gotten very theatrical with it. It's interesting, when you turn around, you see even in the very first chapter, verse 2, God now tells Jonah, go and preach this message. And Jonah's heart is not willing. His heart is actually very much against this, because he understands the grace and the mercy of God. And now Nineveh is a capital city of the Assyrians, and they're very ruthless people. They're very, very difficult to deal with. They were a great threat to Israel. See, we turn around and we can think that we're so separated from these thoughts of Jonah, but actually we're not that far. When we look at the circumstances going on around us in this world, oftentimes we crave for vengeance. Oftentimes we turn around and we want things straightened out, and they've got to be straightened out according to our ways. Jonah was no different. And so when God tells him to go, he takes off in an opposite direction. He jumps on a ship, he heads out, I think he's going to Tarshish. And then we see what takes place. Or if we remember as a young child, we remember the story being relayed to us as parents or grandparents read it to us. Those colorful storybooks would kind of show you these beautiful pictures or these wild pictures. The storm grows fierce, does it not? It gets wild there, and the men on that ship, they're getting nervous. But Jonah, he don't care. The men on that ship, what do? They reach out to their gods. They pray and they beseech of their gods to stop this. But nothing happens. See, they're actually more religious even in this aspect, or at least in this scene, than Jonah himself. Because they're in the middle of turmoil and they turn around and they reach out to their gods. But their gods are gods of reason. Jonah, He is found within the ship, acting as though nothing matters. And when they come to him, when they can find no appeasing from their gods of reason, they come to Jonah and they say, "What's going on?" He says, "This is happening because of me." "Well, what do we do about it?" He says, "Throw me over and it'll end." That's pretty interesting. Jonah's willing, in reality, to sacrifice himself for those individuals in that ship, but he's not willing to carry out the call of God and preach to Nineveh. And that's how often struggles come in our life. We often will cut off our nose to spite our face when it comes to faith and Christianity and working in the church. But these people are actually probably showing more graciousness than Jonah, because they're not willing to do that, are they? We know how the account goes. What do? They take their gear, they take their stuff off the ship, and they start throwing it in the water. That's not cheap. They were willing to give up their possessions to try to save this individual. Jonah wasn't willing to go travel in there and preach the word. How are we? Are we willing to do all kinds of other things? Dance around the subject? Or are we willing to do what God has called us to do? To preach the word. To enter into areas and encourage and strengthen by the word of God. Finally, they're dismayed because nothing helps, and they actually do take and they throw Jonah over. And we know how that goes. Then this big fish comes along and swallows up Jonah. He spends 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly. And that's likened even unto a hell. Can you imagine even being in there, dark and stinky and wet and slimy and miserable? How did God do it? I don't know, but he's God and he can do anything. Maybe Jonah shrunk down to a little tiny size. I don't know. I'm not God. That's the problem. Human beings think we are God. And we try to depict how this can happen. God told Jonah to go. Jonah refused. But God wasn't done. See, even me and my religious self, I'd be done. "Well, Jonah, you're the bonehead. You didn't go when I told you to go, and now I'm just going to have this whale. He's going to come along and eat you, and you're done. You'll be regurgitated later in your history." That's not God. God's not done with Jonah. And Jonah, in reality, in the depths of that darkness and that uncomfortable position, what does he do? He reaches out to his God and he beseeches of his God. God loves us. God tries us. God puts us sometimes in the midst of the furnace, or allows us, I should say, to be in the midst of the struggle, that we may seek him. It's kind of interesting. Luther often made a quote of some sort, saying that, you know, first we must know God as adversary before we can truly know him. How many times in our lives as human beings have we blamed things, in fact, on the devil? But actually it's God that is pruning and cleaning and sharpening. How many times have we thought the devil has taken something away from us, but it is actually God going about his work to make us, if we could say it this way, more improved, better, mature, strengthened, equipped. Now we come to this point where we gotta, because of time's sake, we have to jump forward here. And we have to turn around and we have to look at what this text says. This is the gracefulness of God. Jonah goes through all this difficulty in this struggle, but God is not done with Jonah, as he is not done with Nineveh. And he gives him a second chance, as we could say. We say there's no second chances in life. With God, there is. We were lost in our trespasses and sins. We were separated by a chasm of sin in our life. But by the finished work of Jesus Christ, we could say we've been given this second chance, this renewing. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city." And this doesn't have to be just in magnitude. You can see the importance in God's conversation, his fixation on this city. God has a purpose. And he wants us to be obedient to his purpose. God desires not just the people in this room, not just the people under pointy roofs. God desires all people everywhere. He desires relationship and restoration with them. And he sends us out there to proclaim this. And he tells Jonah, he says, you go. He says, go to Nineveh. He says, but now preach to them. But preach what? Jonah, go there and tell them what you think. Jonah, go over there and tell them your interpretation of what I'm thinking. That's not what he says. How many times do we want to give people the interpretation of what we think God is saying? He says, preach to them what I have bid you, what I have told you. So Jonah went and he arose. This time he's obedient, isn't he? He's been shown the grace of God. He moves forward in this faith and in this grace. He says, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city. There's no doubt about it. This is about 500 miles northeast of where Jonah's from. That's quite a trip. But the fact of it is, even in this time and day and age, its walls were about 8 miles in circumference. This is a big city, too. One of the largest. It's interesting how we've created such things with human hands. But anyways, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. And this is his message. Nothing insight of men, nothing great that we could come up with. He brings forth a great message that God lays upon his heart. He says, in 40 days, do you hear even the grace in that call? Not today, but in 40 days, the graciousness. Can you hear the people in Moses' day? Can you hear even for the years and years that Moses himself preached? To reach out. I mean, Noah. What am I talking about, Moses? You guys got to correct me. Don't be shy to say, hey, Pastor, you're way off. But you know what I mean. Noah's day. Well, it was still 40 years in the wilderness, but anyways. The fact is, you come to this point. He says, in 40 days, this city will be overthrown. Now me, in my religious self, you know what I'd do? In my own fleshly understanding, 40 days? Good, I got 38 days to get her done, maybe 39. I'll do what I want for the next 38, 39 days. But that wasn't their heart. God's word spoke to this people. God's word, by the power of his spirit, inspired these people. And he says very, very straightforward, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And it doesn't waste even one verse. In verse 5 it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed. They trusted what this reluctant prophet was sharing with them. They trusted the God of Israel when he speaks. They saw throughout history when the God of Israel, even the earth itself, and when they heard this message, it says very straightforward, they didn't waste any time. They believed. They believed in this proclamation. And that's, in reality, the greatest thing of faith, that it has power, it has impact. The gods of reason, they do not have that. They can know there is a God, but they don't know the true God. It doesn't make sense. You could stop even in this scenario and you could be as the people of Nineveh and put yourself there for a moment and say, we have walls that stretch 8 miles around us and they are high and they are strong. How? How can this be? We are a great city. How could this be? And one reluctant prophet enters into the city one day's journey and has a simple statement. That in 40 days, this city will be turned over. And they believe that message. That is the power of the Word of God. That is the God that we serve by faith. That is the God of Israel. That is the God of our people. because by faith we are Israel. I know it's odd for us to hear that. We are the children of Abraham by faith. And this is our God that speaks a bold message, and He cries it even to this day. There will be a day in reality when each one of our tabernacles will be released, will be ended. There will be a day when He calls out to each and every one of us, today is the hour. Do we believe? Do we hear? And upon hearing, do we in reality do what the Scripture calls forth from us? Do we repent? Is that a message that we even want to hear anymore? Would you rather that your pastor gets up in the pulpit and tells you everything's rosy, everybody gets a new candy bar at the end of the day, everybody gets to have their ice cream, and we all go home and sit on our couches and get good plasmas and watch the best football game ever with no deflated footballs? Is that what we want to hear? Well, that's not going to do anything for us. There is a message that has begun from the beginning of time to turn since Adam has fallen, to turn. There is a proclamation of turning, which means restoration for each and every one of us, that we would repent. Why are we so afraid of that word? Because human beings have abused it. Human beings have turned it into a carnal action. But true repentance is called forth by God. And it even says within the Scriptures that don't you know that it is the goodness of God that calls all men unto repentance? The goodness of God. Take this scene of Nineveh. What goodness could there be? This morning I did a little object lesson. My wife's correcting me. She's getting, thank you. Object lesson. I had this crusty old paper bag. You know, I wrinkled it up the night before and everything, and it was just junky looking, and it had a Walmart bag in it, and there was something in there. And it was light. It felt like nothing. Then I had this cute little wrap bag with a little snowman on it. Looked really cute with some nice fluff in it. And the fact of it is that there was something in there too, and I had the kids choose it. And they turned around and they came and they chose, the one little girl chose the bag, obviously, that had the snowman on it. It looked so pretty. And what was in it? It was a rock. Yeah, it was a rock. And what was in the crusty bag? Come on, kids, what was in the crusty bag?
Candy.
Candy. Sometimes we choose by appearance. Sometimes we choose by this. And we oftentimes have taken even the understanding of repentance, and we've done it only according to an appearance. But the fact of it is something sweeter and greater than that, because what it is a change of mind, that we would abandon our thoughts, we would abandon our religious human ways, and that we would seek fully in the grace and the mercy of God, who turns around and says, yes. So what is the goodness? What is the goodness that is found in Jonah's message? That little girl who took that rock, she looked at it and she smiled and she said, well, it's sparkly. She found goodness in that. God gave a warning to Nineveh. He gave the decree. He didn't just go in and destroy them. Can we see the goodness of God in that? Can we see the goodness that God sent a prophet, a messenger? Can we see even in this day and age that, yeah, okay, maybe a lot of people in this world think that Christians are wackos. But the truth of it is that God has set forth individuals, male or female, whoever it may be, to proclaim this great message that others would have an opportunity to hear. We may in this world sometimes think that religious people or people of faith are a pain because they ruin all the fun. Well, you have the wrong understanding of Christianity, because Jesus Christ says very plainly, I have come to give life and give it abundantly. This is the proclamation that we have, and He has sent forth people that we may know. Our God is gracious. He calls for repentance. Even when we look in the Old Testament, we see the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was God not gracious? He bargained with them. Our God is gracious. And this is what we call for in this day and age, that we still would hear this message of repentance, of turning about, that we would have a change of mind. Do I want you to follow the religions of this world? Absolutely not. Do I want you to follow the religion of my flesh? Absolutely not. I want you to follow the faith of Jesus Christ, the consistency of His message, that you can believe your sins forgiven in His precious name and shed blood. That is the gospel message. He has come personally for you. He has come corporately for all of us. And it wasn't about Jonah. Because Jonah was quite the goof. He was stubborn. He was crabby. He didn't want to show forth that grace. But he still did what God called him to do. Reluctantly even, he did it. And what does that tell us? It's not about Jonah. It's not about Jonah. It is about the gracefulness of our God and His undying love for His creation, and to what extents He'll go to. And when they heard this message, they were moved by the Spirit, and they all turned out in droves and repented. And the message came to the highest position, the king. And it says very plainly, he took off his robe. I know this will bug Mark, but he took off his robe. He entered into the commonplace, and he repented. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there are no high positions. There are positions that God has set in place that we reverence that position, but the people are still people. Yes, I am your pastor, but I am a sinner saved by grace, just like you. Yes, I may get up here on a Sunday morning and give you a good pep rally. I may share the strength of the gospel with you, but I need that same gospel. I need that same pep. Jonah was not the greatest individual to send on this task, but he was the one that God chose, and he was consistent. God wasn't done with Jonah. God wasn't done with Nineveh. And thanks be to God, because He's not done with us. He has sent His only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you believe this message? Receive it for your own, because it's true. The Scripture is full, if I could say it this way, of good for you. But do you receive it? It says that the word was received so strongly that even the king makes a decree that nobody is to ever do anything except sit in sackcloth and ashes and repent. Even the animals. Everything. It's to show the fullness of this. And you know what's amazing? None of that was required. God didn't call out for that from then. But when that word had its impact, it hit everything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when that word is heard by you, does it hit everything? Do you die to self and live in Him? That's the hope we have. And I praise God for it, because I don't like living in myself and for myself. I know who I am. But I rejoice in living in the finished work of Jesus Christ, being purified by His redemptive work. And understanding, no matter what may be going on around us, God loves us. That, in reality, when we understand that, that's true repentance. It's not a sob story. It's not an emotional breakdown. It is understanding the fullness of God revealed through Christ Jesus as my own. I pray that each and every one of you can and do receive that. And I pray that each and every one of you that even may struggle with this area would receive from another, speak to another, read the Scripture, get involved. I'm not asking you to come to every Bible study. I'm not asking you to do all the religious things. I think they're beneficial. I think they're wonderful. I enjoy them. But I'm asking you, as a minister of the gospel, do you know Him? Do you know Christ Jesus? And is He your all in all? May you be assured, may you be strengthened, but may we know we are of all people most blessed. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. God, in reality, sent Christ to each and every one of us. Praise be to God. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.